Good morning, everybody. So glad you are here as we gather to celebrate and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to a great morning together with our youth group leading us in worship and with Kevin and Pam Olson here to bring God's word to us. And during the Sunday school hour, I know there's going to be Christmas program practice for the youth and youngsters, but any youth that are not tied up or when they're not tied up are invited to join the adults in the fellowship hall. We'll be meeting on the east side of the fellowship hall to meet with the Olsons during the Sunday school time as well. So make sure you give them a great greeting. They are the directors of the Ambassadors Institute, a missionary ministry that they're going to be telling us about. And there's some information in the foyer for you to be picking up as well, and also the insert in your bulletin to be looking at. Because we are a church that believes that the good news of Jesus Christ is too good to keep to ourselves. We believe we are called to spread that message of salvation to people far and wide, close and distant. And we're glad that we get a chance to partner with the Olsons in that and with the other missionaries of the AFLC, as well as some of our other missionary friends.
Just a brief statement of Ecuador and the desire for future training and prayer requests on the right-hand side. We just came back a week and a half ago. Pam and I were there for a month this year. We were there 3 months last fall. And so the ministry, we're able to get hands-on and try and help them direct and coach accountability, training, lots of, and even evangelism is a part of that, but that's the ministry that we've been able to do. On the backside, there's a highlight on the financial needs, and our budget is small for the impact that it has. It's quite a large impact when you think of 31 classes in Uganda, 11 classes going on in India, and so we're breaking that down. There's a way to sponsor a class for about $3,000 or a student for about $300 a year. So anyway, that is just a little update from the ministry. We're going to talk more about it in Sunday school. There'll be a PowerPoint presentation and get questions answered during that time. I'd like to spend some time this morning and just give you an example of what that training is like. Oral style of training is different than a typical maybe sermon that you would have, because it's interactive, and it's led through questions using the narratives of the Bible, and then using a question response to allow the students to be learning for themselves rather than telling them what they need to know. And it has been especially helpful when you think that they are knowing one thing, but what they give as an answer, you find out they know something different. And so then you actually find out what they really know rather than what you want them to know. And so the kind of a Socratic style of interaction anyway. So we're going to use the Christmas story, the story of Jesus coming to our world, as the narrative that we're going to study, talk about. But we're going to look at it from the Matthew version. And we'll use the NIV as the text that comes from that. And I asked our Joseph and Mary from next week, the Christmas program, to help me as props for this, if you guys could come up at this time. So there's two main parts to the oral style of teaching. The first is to learn the text. And that we'll do a couple of, we'll go through it twice. And when we're teaching, we'll go through it more times. And then And then the second part is study of the text or application. So let's go up to the actual nativity scene here, and then gives a little picture of all of that. Yeah, you're able to just duck right in there, no problem. So this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Mary, his mother Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, being a man faithful to the law, and yet did not want to put her to public disgrace, had in mind to divorce her quietly. But before he, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, for what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had promised through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So after Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord had, as the angel had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But they did not consummate the marriage until after she had given birth to a son, and Joseph gave him the name Jesus. So that is the text from this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll do the question and answer side of this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that you did come into the world, and you do desire us to know you, all of us to know you. And Lord, we pray that we could be faithful to that, even as we look at this text today and as we live our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you could just be patient for a moment. So the goal of going through the text is to get it into our minds. And so using an illustration, sometimes that helps. That's not a requirement, but it's a tool. And so then the second time, we'll have them share the story with each other and try and reflect how much did they remember. So in a Christmas story, maybe we think we know it so well, but yet it's easy to forget. So now this is the quiz part, the first step, and I'll prompt you, and then you try to help me remember, or we'll go through it together, what was the text that was just shared. So this is the birth of who? Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother was pledged to be married. But before they came together, she was what? Through how? The Holy Spirit. Joseph was what type of man? Righteous man who was desired to follow the law. And what did he want for Mary? What was his desire for Mary? Not to disgrace her. Very good. Not to put her to public disgrace. So he had in his mind to do what? Divorce her quietly. I love that unison sound. It's beautiful. But so after he had considered this, what happened? Angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, Joseph, what? Good. Joseph, do not be afraid. But he gave him a special title. Joseph, son of David. Joseph, son of David. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because why? What is conceived is what? From the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to what? A son. And what is Joseph's responsibility? Give him the name Jesus. Nice. And so all of this took place to do what? To fulfill the prophecy, what was spoken through the prophet, the Lord had spoken through the prophets. And the virgin, what was the prophecy? The virgin would what? Say again? Conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him what?
He'll call him another name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so after Joseph woke up, what did he do? How's that? Did what the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Yes. And then she gave birth to a son. And what did Joseph do? Gave him the name Jesus. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And sometimes when we're just reading the text, it can seem kind of distant. And when we make it more personal, whether we are thinking of it in this way or not, we can see ourselves as Mary and Joseph more easily. Maybe we can even understand that message of the angel as it comes personally to us, or as that proclamation to us as our instructions as much as it is to Joseph. Okay, I would like to study this text in an interesting manner, in a sense. So this is a Mission Sunday with a Christmas text. So what does this text have to do with missions? That's the question I'd like to wrestle with is in the back of your mind as we go through this. What does this text have to do with missions? But first, let's start out by, what are some character qualities that you notice in Mary and Joseph as they are chosen for this task? What do you notice about Mary and Joseph? Obedient, yes. What else? Faithful, yeah. What else? Say again. Humility. How do you see that? Yeah. Just willing to follow, willing to... You can see it very clearly in the Luke text where, let it be to your servant as you have said. What else do you notice about Mary and Joseph and their character? Okay, compassionate. Sure. He did not want her to be exposed to public disgrace. He took her home as his wife. Yes. What else do you notice? The obedience. Yeah, so obedience to carry the child, obedience to take Mary home as a wife. Any other thoughts that came to your mind? Yeah. Like that. Okay, sure. Even that is traditionally they would be naming him after the father in some manner. And so he gives him the name Jesus as was commanded to. So we can see some character attributes. There's also the attribute of fear. Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. So they're maybe desiring to be faithful to God. He was faithful in following the law, and yet he had compassion, as it was mentioned. What do you see from Mary and Joseph's life regarding missions? That takes the question a little deeper, a little bit more challenging to think about that. How do you see missions in the life of Mary and Joseph? Obedient to what God had called them to do. This is an instruction from the Lord. It's not just, an idea of their own mind. And it was the Lord's calling. Good. What other thoughts? Okay, fulfillment of prophecy. And they're willing to listen to that prophecy, acknowledge that prophecy. This is the word of God, and it's called Jesus the Messiah.
And then fulfillment of prophet. This is to fulfill what the prophet, the Lord has spoken through the prophet. Good. Excellent. The message of save his people from their sins is the message of missions. His people. We're going to get back to that in just a second. What role did they play in carrying this message out? Just willingness. Yeah. You think about that. These two are just as normal as any of us. They don't have any special gifting that it speaks of here to be missionaries. But they're willing, Mary, willing to carry that baby, willing to face public disgrace, willing to be known by people as a byword, maybe. And yet, Joseph, willing to name Jesus and to carry that name of Christ. Proclaim that name of Christ, even if you want to say it that way. But it was the Holy Spirit that allowed Mary to carry that baby, in as much as the Holy Spirit is the one that allows us to carry any message anywhere. And it was the prophecy of Scripture that was fulfilled. It wasn't the prophecy of their own mind. It was God's word that they were fulfilled. And it was even as Joseph, he was not choosing to be the son of David, but it was God's choice to make him the son of David and to fulfill even in that manner. So Pastor Dale mentioned that key statement. How was Jesus used in missions? How do you see missions in the life of Christ? In that statement, he came to save his people. He will save his people from their sins. Take that, just that one statement, and what does that say about missions? He will save his people from their sins. Say again? The people need to be told that of what he is and who he is. Yes. Good. What else? He has a plan of salvation. God has a plan of salvation. And a statement, so it's two statements there. One, God has a plan. And he will do it. It's a fact. What else do you notice from that? He will save his people from their sins. We have sin. Whether it's Mary and Joseph, whether it's us, every single person needs that same message. So all the people, he will save his people, all of the people, from their sins. And he will do it. We are sinners. I think of that statement, his people. The encouragement of that statement. That he knows us by name. And he desires us to be his. So in this text, you have Mary and Joseph playing a simple role. Various character qualities about them that make them capable, but not so different than anybody else. There is some mission aspect to them and what they're doing. And primarily, it's a mission that is about what God is doing more than what they are doing. And third is the message of Christ. Now, we roll into the application side of this. How do we match those character qualities of Mary and Joseph? How are we similar to Mary and Joseph? We have ignored you guys. I've just totally blocked you out. I don't mean to do that. What do you see as character qualities of them that are like us? Desire to be faithful? Yep. What about all of us here? Say again. We also have fear. Yeah. 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 In ourselves, we are weak to be able to be that role of missionary or ordinary people like them. Yeah. 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 Yep. Yep. Good. Good. We are also called to fulfill his purpose. And so this kind of roles, we've talked about some character qualities, faithfulness and fear, and we kind of rolled into this top, the second point of how can we also be like them and being missionaries, and so carrying out the fulfillment of that prophecy. What other ways can we be missionaries like Mary and Joseph? Being obedient to the call as they are, carrying the name of Jesus. And willing to give that name of Jesus. You know, that statement, it says, you are to give him the name Jesus. And, of course, that's Joseph referring to the baby. But isn't that the need of missions? Is to give the name of Jesus to people. And so that they, the people, then also become part of his people. Save his people. Because they also have that name of Jesus. How is it that Jesus works in and through our lives? You know, this emphasis, the third point, it's about what Christ does. He will save his people from our sins. So we have a role in that, the sense of being faithful. How is it that he saves his people even today? Power of the Holy Spirit, creating life. What else? The recognition of being sinners. That we need to also recognize ourselves as sinners. That is the first step in that process of Christ doing that work. Trust and believe in that message. Yes. Welcome, receive it. Yes. Yes. So many ways. He is the one. That he is the Messiah. He is the one that fulfilled the prophecies of Scripture. And we could go into a whole other thing on that side of it. The one word that we've not talked about so much yet, the word Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means that Mary and Joseph, ordinary people, weak and frail, fearful, open to public disgrace, people not understanding them, but God is with them. The promise for us is that regardless of whatever we might feel in our own selves as ability to be missionaries, that statement is all that it matters. God with us. He is the one that makes and chooses. He's the one that calls Mary and Joseph. He's the one that enables them to Mary to carry this baby, or enables Joseph to give the name of Jesus. He is the one that enables us to bring the message of salvation much more than anything we do. So regardless of what challenges we might face, either personally in our lives, our weaknesses otherwise, the ultimate answer is God with us. And he can be with us because he saves us from our sins. Let us pray. Almighty Lord, we thank you, we praise you. We stand in awe and amazement of you in a bit. Because you choose ordinary people to do a work that is so far beyond them. How is the young maiden to be able to carry or raise the Son of God? How is Joseph to be the father of the Lord Most High? How are they even to be able to bring that message to people when there's public disgrace? Except, Lord Jesus, that you are the one that saves us from our sins. You save us from our fears, from our unbelief, our questions. And because of that, you are with us. And for that, Lord Jesus, we praise you today in your precious name. Amen.